Turn with me this morning, if you would, to Luke chapter 12. We're going to start out there. Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. And I think we'll actually have that up on the overhead for you. If you don't have your Bibles handy, and I know a lot of you are pulling out your phones, so I'm hoping that you're actually looking up the scripture on your phone instead of texting your friends. So, Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Lord, we pray that you just speak to our hearts and lives today as only you can. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is, Much is Given, Much Shall Be Required. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, there's actually a lot going on there if you look at what's going on just before and just after he talks about this and he makes this statement. But this is one that probably most of us have heard this statement made, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And to put it in context, he's basically saying you are responsible for doing what you know you should do. And so that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. One of the points he makes in some of the prior verses is that the servant needs to be doing what his master tells him to do. Now, that makes sense, right? The master says, hey, I want you to do this. This is your job. This is what you're supposed to do. It's kind of like working at a factory. He says, okay, your job is to put the third widget on the fourth wheel. You know, that's all you got to do is every time it goes down the line, you put the third widget on the fourth wheel. And you decide you're going to put the second widget on the first wheel. That's not going to work, okay? You're responsible to do what you're told to do, what you're instructed to do your part. And that kind of fits in with the way God created the church, is that he puts us all together and he gives us all a job to do, and when we're all doing what we're supposed to do, everything goes good. But when we try to do somebody else's job, then sometimes we goof things up, or we try to do things that God really didn't ask us to do, and things get messed up, and sometimes we throw our arms up and we get kind of frustrated because things don't seem to be working. Well, remember, your job is to put the third widget on the fourth wheel. You know, that's all you need to do. And if you do what you're supposed to do, by the time it gets to the end, everything will have gotten taken care of. And so he talks about doing our responsibilities. And then he talks about being good and faithful servants, because you never know when the master might show up. And he talks some about, well, what happens if he shows up in the middle of the night and you're just goofing off? You're not doing the job that you were supposed to be doing, because he said, you know, he'll never come. And that's been going on since the time of the disciples. People keep saying, well, Jesus hasn't come back yet, so I don't think he's really going to come back, and so I don't really need to worry about it. You know, there was a time I remember as a youngster that heard a lot of messages, a lot of sermons preached about, you know, Jesus is coming back at any moment. And, you know, well, we didn't want to miss the rapture. And one pastor I know, he says, well, I pray really hard that Jesus doesn't come back on Sunday night. And everybody, what? He says, yeah, because I know he'd come to church and look for us, and the ones that aren't here would miss him. So, the principle behind this passage of Scripture is that you need to be doing what you're supposed to be doing, that we're good and faithful servants. But then there's also this part, to whom much is given, much shall be required. So he said, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing. So we're going to talk about some of those things. First of all, if you know what's expected of you, you know what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing it, it's sin. All right? James chapter 4, verse 17, James says, for him to know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, can it get any clearer than that? No. You know that you're supposed to do something and you decide you're not going to do it. He says it's sin. It's wrong. Now, is God going to hold you accountable for that? Well, what did he say? Him that knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, we're going to talk about that, neither did according to his will. In other words, he didn't prepare himself to do his will, and he didn't do his will. So you knew what you're supposed to do, but you just didn't do it. James says, It's sin. Well, what's the consequences of sin? Yeah, the wages of sin is death. It's called disobedience. Now, I know none of us ever have an issue with that. None of our kids ever had an issue with that. As kids ourselves growing up, we never had a problem with that. How many of you know everybody has a problem with disobedience? We know what we're supposed to do, but we just don't feel like doing it, and we just don't get it done. We know we're supposed to, but we don't get it done. Disobedience. What does God think about disobedience? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." In other words, you weren't doing what you're supposed to do. "In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Remember, he said that there will be punishment for disobedience. And what's this verse saying in Ephesians? It says, we're children of disobedience. How many of you know that the devil simply wants you not to do what God wants you to do? It's really as simple as that. We think the devil's going around trying to make us do all these terrible, horrible, bad things. The only thing the devil really cares about is that we're not doing what God wants us to be doing. Because then you're in disobedience. Because God says, do this, and you say, well, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy. I don't really care about that. That's not my thing. You know, I'm not going to do that. He says, it's the spirit of disobedience. Remember, you've got to know what you're supposed to do and then say, I'm not going to do it. Disobedience. So if you know what's expected of you and you don't do it, it's sin and there'll be consequences. Now, the passage of scripture that we're basing our new name on and all that, remember in Hebrews chapter 10? If you put that whole passage into perspective, start at verse 24, remember it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for our sins, but a fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." Any of you getting scared yet? Okay? He says, I told you what to do. If you don't know what to do, then you're supposed to find out what to do. But once you know what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to go do it. Because God's done his part. He's waiting for us to do ours. So, are we going to be obedient or disobedient to the Holy Spirit? Now, some people will say, well, you know, it says if you know what to do, and Pastor, quite frankly, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not sure what it is that God wants me to do. Okay, I'll give you that one. But there's a qualifier to it. Okay? There's really no excuse for not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, some people will say to me, well, what if my best isn't good enough? And I want to address that in just a second. What if I'm really not much good at that? I try, but really not much good. Well, it's interesting that there's a couple of things in play here. First of all, did you know most anything that you do, the more you do it, the better you'll get at it? Anybody here remember riding a bike? Did you know that it's actually possible if you learned to ride a bike as a child, you could go 20, 30 years and never get on a bike, and you could get on the bike and still ride it? Because some way, somehow, you still know how to do that. Okay. But the more you ride, the more you're going to learn. When you first got on, you were kind of doing one of these things, you know. I remember teaching my daughter to ride, and I was holding on, you know, so she wouldn't tip over because she really didn't want training wheels. I don't know what the deal was with that, but. Oh, I can ride a bike. No, you can't. I'm running along. I was getting a lot of exercise. That's why God gives us kids when we're young, you know. Hang on to that bike and run. Well, after a while, I got to where, you know, really, I wasn't doing much. I mean, she was doing great. She'd ride around the whole block, and I'm just kind of got my hand on the back of the bike. So one day, she'd come around the corner, and I just let go. And she went all the way down the block, and she's just doing great. And then all of a sudden, she realized I wasn't there, and she crashed and burned, and boy, was I in trouble. But the more you do something, the better you get at it. So if you're trying to do something, I'd say start. do the best you can, okay? And people say, well, my best isn't good enough. A couple of things happen is, as you do what you're supposed to do, you get better at it, and God will honor your efforts. God will do the part that you can't, all right? I can tell you when I was first starting in the ministry that sometimes I'd get up in front of people and I'd get really nervous and whatnot, and I couldn't figure out what to say, and I'd get a little flustered. And my father-in-law at the time had a small church in Lansing, an independent church. And he said, well, anytime God gives you a good message, you come down and preach for us. And I just thought, well, that was great, because just starting out, you know, every opportunity I could get to preach to people. And so I go down there, and it didn't matter how good I thought I did or how bad everybody come up and shook my hand and said, oh, that was a great message. I'm going, wow, I didn't think it was all that hot, you know, it was kind of... And I always appreciated those folks letting me practice on them. Now, hopefully I've gotten a little bit better. I don't get as nervous anymore. But if you're going to do just about anything, you've got to start at some point, and you don't have to be perfect when you start. Because as you do it, you will learn how to do it, and you'll get better. And God will honor your efforts if you're giving him your best. See, God only asks you for your best. Now, there's a couple of passages of Scripture that we're going to put up there, and it's from Matthew chapter 25. And these are a couple of my favorite Scriptures, and let me tell you why. Matthew 25, verse 21 says, "The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And then a couple of verses later, Matthew 25, 23. "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Now, how many of you think they just made a mistake and printed the same thing twice? It's exactly the same, isn't it? But if you look at it in context, you'll find out that it's the story of the parables, the five, the two, and the one, right? He gave the servants money, and he said, invest it, and I'll be back to check up on you. And the guy with five invested it, made five more. The guy with two invested it, made two more. And the guy with one said, no, I know that, you know, you're really serious about this kind of stuff. I didn't want to let you down, so I just buried it in the ground so I wouldn't lose it. He said, I didn't give it to you to bury it in the ground. He said, I gave it to you to use it to do something. And he says that you're not a faithful servant because you didn't do anything with what I gave you. But these two passages that we read have to do with the guy that had five and the guy that had two. It's exactly the same reward. You think, well, the guy that made five, he should get more because he did a much better job. But the master comes back, and the Lord says, exactly the same reward for you as for you because you did what you could with what you had. You see, the principle here is that your best is always good enough for God. He just asked for your best. If you do the best you can, God will multiply it, and God will reward you for doing that. Say, well, I'm not very talented. Doesn't matter. God's given all of us talents. You're probably a lot more talented than what you think you are. There are things that God enables you to do. And if you do your best, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, it doesn't matter if you got five or whether you got two. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord. Because you did the best you could with what you had to work with. So, just remember, your best is always good enough for God. It's always good enough for God. But he wants your best. He doesn't want second best. He wants you to give your best effort to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And God will take care of the rest. And he'll say, well done. Well done. Now, we've got to get to this one part here, because obviously it says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And people will say, well, I haven't got much to start with. I didn't know any better. I really didn't know what God wanted me to do. Well, let me address that. I've heard that it's been said, a poor excuse is better than no excuse. Now, I want to tell you that the excuse of ignorance is a valid excuse, but you can only use it once. So you better figure out where you want to use it at. And the reason I say that is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul says this as he's addressing Timothy. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, for he enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So Paul says, I did some things, but I didn't know any better. Anybody else ever do that? You thought you were doing the right thing, and then you found out, man, I'm really messing this up. I was really trying hard, but I did the wrong thing, although my motives were good. Now, I think that what we'll find in our lives is if we're really trying to do the right thing, at some point, God's going to come, and he's going to take care of that ignorance part. He's going to make it clear if I really have a desire to please him. Because remember, Paul, he says, I really went around doing a bunch of dumb things. I even killed Christians. I thought I was doing God a favor. And God knocked me off my horse and said, hey, that's not what I called you to do. This is the truth. And God gave a special revelation to Paul and allowed him to know what he was supposed to do. And no longer could he claim ignorance. So if you say, I've done some things that didn't turn out very well. Okay, we all have. And I've had times when I tried to serve the Lord and I tried to do what God wanted me to do and I really tried hard to be a good Christian and it just didn't turn out the way I thought it would. I must have done something wrong. Okay, you may have. But it gets back to, are you giving God your best? Are you putting forth your best effort? Because if you don't know what to do, God will help you understand what to do and how to do it. And that's where we really have to be careful, folks, is remember he says, to whom much is given, much will be required. So you say, nah, I don't want to know. I'm going to stick my fingers in my ears. I don't want to know because if I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I'm not responsible to do it. Wrong. Because if you don't know what you're supposed to do, you are responsible to find out what you're supposed to do and how to do it. Let me show you a couple more scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. They say, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth was standing out of the water and in the water. We know the world was overflowed with water and perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, were kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. And what's Peter saying here? He says there'll be scoffers walking in their own lust, and they are willingly ignorant. In other words, it's not an excuse for me to keep doing what I'm doing because I say, well, I didn't know any better. Well, then you need to find out. Well, what does God want me to do? You need to find out. It's your obligation. God will show you because he says, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you do what? Seek me with all your heart. You just say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm just happy the way I'm going. Well, your life's not going to change much. But is he going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Are you really doing what God wants you to do? Are you feeling as though you're making a difference for the kingdom of God because you're doing what he created you to do? Now think about that. Because every one of us has a place in God's kingdom, a unique and special place with special things that he's given us to do. And Peter says there are some people that are willingly ignorant because they, well, I didn't know. Well, the reason you didn't know is because you didn't want to know. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Will it be required of us that we didn't go find out what it was God wanted us to do? Now, there's a lot of ways to do that. People talk about, you know, doing spiritual gift inventory and doing all kinds of things. And those all might be well and good. I think there's a lot of ways that we can grow in our relationship with God. But the fact of the matter is, if we're going to be good and faithful servants, what we really need to be doing is saying, well, no, what needs to be done? Because if you see a need, a lot of times God can use you to fill that need. That's why you're seeing that need, is that, well, I wish somebody would take care of that. I wish somebody would do something about that. Anybody could have done it, right? You know who does the most work in the kingdom of God? A guy named Nobody, yeah. Anybody could have done it. Somebody should have done it. Nobody has ended up doing it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you used what I gave you. You found out how to do it. It's hard work sometimes, really serving God. We have to spend time finding out what he wants us to do. That's why Paul tells us, he says, it's time to grow up and find out what to do. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, we're supposed to be working for the kingdom of God, and how do we find out? We study God's word. People say, well, Pastor, I don't know what it is that God wants me to do. Well, how much time do you read your Bible? How much time do you spend in the word of God? Well, you know, I read all them begats and all that stuff, and it's just confusing to me, and I'm not sure where to go with it and how to do it, and some of the things that I read don't seem to make much sense. Well, I got news for you. Now, don't tell anybody, but some of the things I read don't seem to make much sense to me either. I go, I know it's there for some reason. You know, there's 153 fish. I don't know why. It's got to be there for a reason, but then there's other times when you read God's word and he'll speak to you very clearly. How do I know what to do if I'm not studying God's word, if I'm not allowing God to speak to me through his word? And Paul tells us that we are to study to show ourselves approved. In other words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you look to my word, you find out what my word says, and then you did something about it. You applied it to your lives. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 and 13 says, O Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and the statutes which I commanded thee this day for thy good. How do you know what God's commandments are if you never read them? How do you know what God wants you to do if you never read his word? You see, if we expect God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, then we have to find out, well, what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. How do I love the Lord with all my heart? How do I serve him? How do I become a blessing to other people? In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Paul says this about Israel. Because remember that Paul was an Israelite. You know, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And even though he spent much of his ministry to the Gentiles, he really had a heart for the nation of Israel. And he says this in Romans 10, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And what he simply says is, they really go about and say, I want to please God, but they're doing it their own way instead of doing it God's way, and it's not going to work. So they have a zeal, you know, we're going to serve God, but you can't serve God on your own terms. You've got to find out what it is God wants you to do, and then do what God is asking you to do, and not what you want to do. And that's what he says here, being ignorant of God's righteousness. Well, I didn't know what God wanted me to do, so I'll just do what I want to do. Folks, if we spend time with him, he'll tell us. If we have a willing heart, we say, Lord, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Speak to me. Show me how I can be a blessing. Show me how you want to use me for your kingdom. Sometimes that takes work, and sometimes it takes a period of time. But I'll guarantee you this. If you have a desire to be used by God, you have talents and abilities that God will use for his glory. And he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you found out what needed to be done, you applied yourself to it, you learned how to do it, and you became a blessing. Even the Apostle Paul, see, some people think that God zapped him off his horse and then he became this great apostle. Do you know that after the Apostle Paul had his encounter with Jesus Christ, he spent 3 years studying before he became a minister of the gospel? A lot of people don't know that, but the Bible does tell us that if you read through it and you put the pieces together. Paul went out and said, I've got to find out how to do this. So sometimes, you know, we think, well, God just zapped me. No, if God's calling you to do something, you may have to put a lot of hard work into it to really arrive at that place where he begins using you. But that's what it means to be a good steward, to be faithful. I'm not sure how to do it, so I'm going to go find out. I'm going to study. I'm going to learn. And then I'm going to apply myself. You see, the I don't know defense only works once. You need to go to find out. And the reason you need to go find out is because now you have the knowledge that you don't know what you don't know. So you're not responsible for what you don't know until you learn that you don't know what you don't know. And once you don't know what you don't know, you gotta go find out what you don't know. I don't know what God wants me to do. Great! You just took the first step. Now go find out. What is it God wants you to do? Because now you know that you don't know. Does that make sense?
I don't know.
You see, that's why you can only use the ignorance thing once. Well, man, I just didn't know what to do. All right, are you going to run into that situation again? Then find out what to do if it happens again. Find out. Well, you know, I see this and that, but I'm not sure if God wants. Try it. How many of you like to fail? You've never accomplished anything in your life until you failed. That's how you learn, is by doing something. We just sit around and not do anything, then nothing will get done. God's able to use us. He'll say, well done, because you did something. When we talk about that story about the talents, the parable of the talents, I believe with all my heart, and I could be wrong, but I believe with all my heart if that guy that had the two talents had came and said, I invested it and I made some mistakes and I lost it all, he would have said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you did the best you could. You invested it, you tried to do what I wanted you to do with it, and you'll do better next time. I do. I just, that's my personal belief. You may not agree with that, and that's okay. I don't think God's walking around waiting for us to fail so he could whack us over the head. I think he's waiting for us to do something for the kingdom so he can bless us and that he can multiply it and he can make good things happen. But it's up to us. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4. It's required. It's not optional. It's a requirement. We're servants of the Most High. We're supposed to be faithful. That means we keep doing what God wants us to do. I'm going to close with a verse from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. It's always been one of my favorites. You know, I got a lot of favorite scripture verses. They're all good. Amen. But Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 8 simply says this. Wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? You see, sometimes when we're trying to serve God, we think it's about, well, how much money I put in the offering. Well, if God ask you to put something in the offering, you need to do it because you need to be good and faithful. And you need to be good stewards of what he's blessed you with. But he says, does it really have anything to do with how much I bring? If I bring lots of sacrifices into the temple, that makes me spiritual. He says, no. He says, what God really wants you to do is to love mercy, love justice, to just try to do what is right and to walk humbly with God. God, I'm not sure how to handle this. I'm not sure what to say. I'm not sure exactly what to do here. God, give me direction. Help me to understand. And he will. Do you love mercy? Do you walk humbly with your God? For remember this. It all comes back to Luke chapter 12. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. What does the Lord require of you? Do you love him? Do you walk before him humbly? Do you serve him with all of your heart? I don't mean to be kicking dirt at us today, you know, trying to make anybody feel bad. I trust that this is an encouragement to all of us, that God rewards those that are faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And sometimes we don't see what's been accomplished until a long time afterwards. Many times we don't even see it in our own lifetime. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He never found it. One day he will. And sometimes we think, well, I struggle and I'm really trying to do my best, and I don't know if God understands. He does. And I'm not saying that just try harder and you'll succeed, but friends, what I am saying today is remember that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I've always got to keep God first, and I've got to keep trying to do my best to do what he's asked me to do. And be committed and be a faithful servant. That means I keep doing, even though I may be struggling at it, and I say, boy, but I thought God wanted me to do this, but you stay faithful and you keep doing it. There's a story of a missionary, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was a missionary to China, an Assemblies of God missionary. They threw a big banquet for him when he was retiring because he was considered extremely successful. He had had thousands of conversions, and he really, many years ago, was the man that had established the church in China. And as they were giving him this banquet, of course, somebody said, well, what is the secret of your success? And he thought about it for a moment, and this is what he said. His secret of success in serving God for all those years was, I can plod. And everybody looked at him like, are you nuts? And he said, for the first 15 years I was there, he said, I did everything I thought God wanted me to do. And he said, you know how many people got saved? Nobody. He said, for 15 years I ministered and no one got saved. And the more I prayed about it and the harder I tried, I just felt God wanted me to keep doing what I was doing, that I was serving him. I was where I was supposed to be, doing what I was supposed to be. So he said, I just kept plotting. I just kept doing what God had called me to do. And suddenly, the dam burst and people started getting saved by the hundreds and then the thousands, and revivals spread throughout the country. He said, the secret to my success is I can plod. That's what it means to be a faithful servant. You find out what God wants you to do, and then you just do it, and you do it with all of your heart. You do it to the best of your ability, and you believe God is blessing, even if you don't see immediate results. Know that you are being faithful and that God loves you, and you're right in the center of his will doing what he's called you to do. So find out what God wants you to do, and then get invested in it. And do it with all your heart. Be a good and faithful servant. Bow your heads with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you have done in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I thank you for all the things you are doing right at this moment and all the things you will do. Help us to be good and faithful servants. Lord, I know that you have many things in store for our lives. You have many things in store for this church. I believe that you're going to do great and mighty things as we each just do our part, as we are faithful to you, as we serve you with all of our hearts, as we allow you to work in us and through us and move among us. And Lord God, I would pray that you would encourage each one right now, that we would be good and faithful servants, that we would understand that you require much of us because we are capable of doing much for the kingdom of God. And Lord, may we go out, may we minister unto people. May we provoke one another to love and to good works. Lord God, may we encourage one another. May we not just show up here on Sundays to have church, but may we be your church. May we be a blessing one to another. May we be involved in your work. May we be servants of the Most High God. For your Lord, you require us to love one another. You require us to love mercy. You require us to walk humbly with our God. Lord, help us in those endeavors, for you see our hearts. You see the desire of our heart is that we would be good and faithful servants. Lord, I pray that you would give each and every one of us much, that we can do even more for your kingdom. May your kingdom come, your will be done in our hearts and in our lives as it is in heaven. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. I know the wind is blowing out there, so don't blow away. Be careful on the drive home. The roads might be a little slick in spots, so be extra cautious. I appreciate you coming out today. And remember, we've canceled the evening services for today. But go be faithful servants, and just find what God wants you to do and do it with all your heart. God bless you this morning.